गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन्नूर्तिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शंकराचार्यमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शांति 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 सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् These people online, they didn't have to deal with commutes, so they got here quicker. Good. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing good.
Good, good to see you.
Yes.
So, last week we got it up to the 8th verse.
Okay.
So let's just go over a few more points in that before we move forwards here. So that's page 46 here.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jnana-vijnana-tripta-atma. Sorry, the tune doesn't come somehow sometimes first thing in the class. Jnana-vijnana-tripta-atma. Kutastho-vijitendriyaha. Kutastho-vijitendriyaha. Yukta-ityuchyate-yogi. Yukta-ityuchyate-yogi. Samaloshtashmakanchanaha, Samaloshtashmakanchanaha. Those whose mind is satisfied to jnana and vijnana, who is steady, who has mastered the sense organs, is called a yogi. A yogi is one for whom a lump of earth, stone, and gold are the same. So we discussed this last time. So we discussed jnana is the theoretical understanding. We study Vedanta, and now I have an understanding what it's saying, in other words. So, but still, I understand, but it doesn't mean that it's affecting my life in this way, that it's been digested, become second nature in this way. And in the Mahabharata, it's shown where, when Karna, the eldest Pandava, but he didn't know he's a Pandava, when he has to fight, because he got a curse that when he learned from his teacher that he lied about his background, so that he got a curse. When he needs it, it won't be there. So he needs, but then it's not ready for him, not available. So I sit here, I meditate a little, or I sit in class, I understand why I'm Atma, why I'm not the body-mind, but then some problem comes, some difficulty comes, I identify as the body-mind, meaning it's not readily available. So jnanam, I understand. Vijnanam, it's I've already digested and then it's become second nature. So then we say shravanam will help for jnanam, so I understand very clearly what shastra, what the scripture points out. But then a lot of mananam, nididhyasanam needed to remove doubts in order and to make that knowledge very stable. Right? That's why one of the terms for jnani, which comes from the second latter part, second chapter, sthita prajna, where it also is sthita prajna, sthita prajna, same thing. So sthita prajna, somebody whose wisdom is stable. Because some of the time it's ready for us, but some of the time, a lot of time it isn't like this. So it's not stable. So jnana vijnana. So like this, one is this. And because of that, there'll be stable, content, and all this. Now, the point we didn't finish discussing last time, the last, sama loshta ashmakan chanaha, this person will see things equally, right? Because what happens is they'll see things equally and not, they understand, not that the jnani doesn't know that, okay, this gold is very valuable, meaning they'll pay a lot of money for it. This stone or earth, nobody needs, wants it, they're just going to throw it out. Of course, it's not that the mind, the intellect doesn't function, but the understanding. One doesn't have raga dvesha, where the individual is raga dvesha driven. Driven by my likes, dislikes, expectations, all these things. But one who sees it equally, then what difference does it make? It's all the same thing. Yes, certain materials needed for a certain thing. Clean water needed for drinking, so that's we use for drinking, even though under seeing everything is equal, any liquor could be drunk, but this one is healthy, so it'll be drunk. But of course, like this. But from there's no expectation, preference, this, because the individual has been negated, the idea of individuality. So that's one of the important points here, like this. So now what happens is when without this understanding that I am Purna, that I am complete, full of within myself, then what happens is I still remain dependent on circumstance. So then I still will have my expectation, likes, dislikes, because the moment I'm limited, then there is some challenge. There can be challenges, difficulties. So this is an important point that's brought up in there. And what happens also is that the differentiation between things is my subjectivity. I project it. Because something is considered very valuable, that is my projection, because for somebody else it isn't. In one place it is valuable, in one not. It's like certain fruit here, they'll sell in the farmer's market for $5 a pound. In another place, they just give it away freely because it's available everywhere. So one person will see it as something very special or something valuable, the other person will see it as just a common thing. And I project my ideas on everything. Without projecting my ideas, then how will the differentiation come about that something is more important or more valuable or not? It's my ideas being projected like this. So that's how saying that the jnani will be seen equally like this. And one other thing also to take even further is now the devotee is going to say, okay, they're praying, they hope that God will help them and protect them also like this. Meaning that this poor God doesn't have anything else to do. The God who is complete, infinite, unchanging, has to pay some special attention. Now, how the God who is infinite, unchanging, in and through everything, deal with how, for if you think about them, for the God there can't be differentiation. If for the God there's differentiation, the God is somehow separate. So even depending on that is also dependence. Because in the end, one of the characteristics of jnana is independence. And what happens is when we're wanting the God for helping me in some limited sense, then I'm taking the unlimited and trying to have the unlimited help me in the limited. So in earlier stages of bhakti, that can be useful because then at least I'm bringing the God into the picture. I'm seeing there's something larger beyond this. But pretty soon one has to come to terms with that what I want is the God itself, not some byproduct which is the limited in this way. So this is also an important point here because we're talking about dependence. Independence, I'm also independent of some idea of God that I'm leaning on. Again, for earlier stages, okay, give some security, fine. But in the end, it's still dependent security. And so I'm still is taking some idea of the God like this. Very interesting thing also, if you go to the idea of the God, that's a whole other interesting topic, not related, but since it just came up. Two people are in one religion, one their kind of temple. Right? Another person's in another temple, their religion. So these two that are in the same temple think we're of the same team. We're with the right God. That other one, like this. Now, in their mind, they have an idea of God, a concept of the God, right? Their concept in the mind may be very different, but because the external form and name and ritual, they take the same, so they think they're the same team. The other one, the other place, their idea might be closer to one of the other two in that, in this temple, where the other one is so distant. So really, in the end, although these two think they're on the same team, if you take by team and concepts, actually one of them is closer to the other. what kind of, it's, you know, human mind is so, knows how to divide and separate things, very smart at doing it. we're very wise in that way, but that isn't a very, when it's helpful for something, like, you know, figuring out some problem, you know, why there's a certain problem in environment and health, and this, okay, it's useful, but otherwise for many other things, it's actually something that gets in our way, like this. In any case, let's continue. Next verse continues along the same line. Suhun mitraryudasina, suhrun mitraryudasina, matyastadveshvadbandhushu, matyastadveshyabandhushu, sadhushvapichapapeshu, sadhushvapichapapeshu, samabuddhirvishishyate, samabuddhirvishishyate. He whose mind is the same with regard to well-wishers, friends, enemies, neutrals, mediators, hateful ones, relations, the righteous, and even the unrighteous excels. So, first of all, sama equivalent with regard to objects. Now also saying with regards to people. Regards to people is more difficult. Because objects, it's easier. I understand they come and go. I understand that's easier to see. But people, then there's a lot more involvement in relation, because they're going to react. The objects don't react, right? Yeah, okay. There's some problem with computer. There's virus or phone not working. This, yeah, okay. There's some a little bit more, but still, it's a machine. But with humans, then now it's a different story. So even here, I see, this one is my friend, I like this one, I don't like because they disturb me like this, that. So the jnani also sees these equally. And again, as in the second chapter, the last portion, we were discussing the characteristics of a jnani. Then we said, the characteristics of a jnani, what's natural for this type of person, is for the adhikari, for the aspirant, their practice, something to live up to. So, okay, so maybe I don't see equally, but I try to learn to see equally. Why do I have bias? Why do I see differently? This is the important point that's brought up here in this way. So, what happens is, for the jnani to see everybody equally, there are two different reasons for this. One reason is that they know the one Atma is behind everything, everybody. There's no question about it. One consciousness, which is behind me, is behind each and every other person. The body-mind complex is just some external shell, which doesn't really have a substance separate from Atma. So then I know there's oneness, so why would I have a preference? Why would I have likes for one, dislike for another like this? So this is one reason. Second reason is that the jnani won't have their likes and dislikes, raga-dvesha. Not caught up in the raga dvesha, likes, dislikes. Yes, there is the moment there's mind, there is raga dvesha. You can't not have, because that's part of the mind. So the person grew up in a certain place, so they prefer a certain kind of food or a certain kind of, you know, certain things they're used to, so it's more comfortable for, because used to that. Something from a different one is foreign, they're not as used to. Okay, that's fine, but again, identifying with raga dvesha, getting caught up in this is the problem. And having strong raga dvesha. Mind will have some, but it's, you know, will be more benign. We have some raga dveshas that are benign. I prefer this type of food compared to that. This isn't available, doesn't matter. Then it's not, it's, you know, it doesn't have, it doesn't, can bind us in this way. But in any case, so not having raga dvesha, why will they prefer to have this person there and not want to have the other person there? Example I brought up before, which is a very nice example of this that I've seen, is Swami Ram Sarupanandaji, I remember once when I went there, there's one lady who was staying there, and in the area, and she had, a term I've heard some different place, different context, lingual diarrhea, right? Meaning, can't stop talking, blah, 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 like this. So most people, after a little while, they want to be away from that person. Now this person didn't have a place to stay, so the kutir there, if you come see some time, then his is the same as the way mine is there, where there's the main room, and then there's a small room, which is like an entrance room, and that one, you know, it's enough to fit a small bed in, that's it, there's no space in there. So she didn't have a place to stay, so she stayed right there, right? So meaning, all the time, most of the day, she's around. She stayed there a few weeks, months, I don't know exactly how long, no problem, like this. Actually, when he had a stroke, and he wasn't, and we didn't know if he'd survive, he was in this Ayurvedic hospital. After being there a few weeks, the owners of the hospital took him to their house. And so they put her in their bedroom, like this. And so in the evening, after he take medicine and everything and sleep, then I would want, okay, turn off the light and people be quiet there. He didn't want, no, don't worry about it. So he didn't mind. There's noise, there's people, there's this. He'll lie there, sleep, light on, doesn't matter. Somebody after a stroke, we don't know if he's going to live. So equivalent. People come and go, same. Doesn't. So this is the... One of the signposts, and again, something for us to work on, because why do I like you and not like you? It's my projection, my idea. That's it. More than that, no. So, you know, there's a poisonous snake there, or there's a tame pet that people know there's a tame pet. Yes, doesn't mean I'm going to go and I'll pet your pet dog is very cute, and there's some poisonous snake that'll go and pet it. Of course not. That's common sense. But why will I have dislike for the poisonous snake? It's its nature, that's what it does. Why will it bite me? Because it's afraid of me. It wants to protect itself. I remember Swami Vishnu talked about the rattlesnakes up there in Grass Valley, where there's Shivananda Ashram. He said, you think the rattlesnake is attacking you. It's the other way around. You're walking and you're stepping near it, and it's seeing this huge thing coming. And then it says, makes the noise, keep away, because it wants to protect itself. And then it hisses, shows, look, I have fangs. It's like a little kid that wants to say, that is scared, so they want some way to say, my big brother is very strong, he'll protect me. And then, to protect itself, it'll bite. If you leave it alone, why would it disturb you? But in any case, so also this way for people seeing equally. And if you think about it, all the different people situations are brought into my life. If I take them as something for my growth, then it's great. It comes from my growth, and I can learn to see beyond my limited ideas. I can see beyond these things. Instead of, oh, poor me, why is this like this? Oh, it was very nice having these friends around. Why? They have to move away. Some of my family move away. Oh, okay, for my growth in this way. So these are some of the points here. Then they say like this, then this is the dehypnotizing yourselves, like this. And with this dehypnotizing, Swami Dayananji, the master of Vedanta in this, people would say, this is Vedanta's brainwashing. And he said, yes, it's washing your brain. He said, yes, the brain needs to be washed. Like this. And then one other point also is that when we relate them to a person, most of the time I'm relating to my image of that person. I have an idea of a person, so I'm relating to that, not to the person itself. Because a person is a person. But then I have my ideas and I'm relating to that. So my biases, instead of just... So this is where my projection comes in. Person is a person, conscious being. I treat like that, respect, with love. Doesn't matter who the person is. Of course, if there's some... you're the boss, or this is teacher, or, you know, this is your child, then of course there's some, you have a duty there, but you understand, but with understanding what's behind it, understanding equally like this. And that helps more and more also because so much of our attachment to expectation built around certain, with certain people, so it helps to ease that, so we're not as caught up in it. Because in the end, one of the things study of Vedanta does is it helps to create a shock absorber for different things. You know, your own child, you expect to have one kind of lifestyle, they have a different one. It's a shock absorber. Okay, you know, maybe I'm not jnani yet, but I can accept because each person is their individual, they're a conscious being, they come with their karma, they want to live like this, okay, in that way. So this is very helpful like this. Otherwise, I come with all my ideas and judgments, and they're in my mind. I'm caught up in them in this way. So this is the section of this chapter's finish, where now goes more directly into the meditation and a lot of into antaranga sadhanas, internal. We did a lot of external things to do with the external world. Now more internal when I go to the meditation. Because again, since the focus on meditation, everything that will be helpful for the meditation is discussed. As we said, if the instrument is ready, just a little bit of practice and meditation can be there. Somebody does a lot of practice but doesn't take care of the preparation, then it's not going to be, the meditation more flimsy in this way. So here in verse 10, Yogi yunjita satatam, Yogi yunjita satatam, Atmanam rahasi sthitaha, Atmanam rahasi sthitaha, Ekaki yata chittatma, Ekaki yata chittatma, Nirashira parikraha, Nirashira parikraha. Remaining alone in solitude, with the restrained mind and body, without any desire and without any possession, a yogi should constantly engage the mind in meditation. So in these few verses here, as we'll go through now, then Sri Krishna is going to show, okay, for meditation, what do you need as when not how to meditate specifically, that a little bit later, but how to have all the preparation for meditation, not during the other, what we just discussed is for in day-to-day life. But now you want, now you're going to sit to meditate. Okay, now for the meditation itself, what is needed? And there are 8 points that that pretty much he'll discuss. So we can just first briefly see what they are, then go through the verses where he discusses. So the 8 points which will be helpful for our meditation. So first point he gives is desha, the place. So when I meditate, having a place to meditate can be helpful. Now again, all these things are guidelines to make that are helpful. It doesn't mean that it's a Ten Commandments that if you don't follow, then you're going to end up in hell or that you can't meditate. But they're very helpful, very useful. Because for instance, Vedantic meditation, once one reaches enough into that, you don't need place, time, this, that, in this way. But the thing is, if I'm new to it, it can be much more difficult to do that way for most people. It doesn't mean for everybody, but in general. So having a regular, the place is very helpful. First of all, if the a place being more clean, you know, because the external environment, also my environment, how I am. So that's why, like, I'm trained for years. First thing in the morning, I shower before I go to meditate. But the place itself is clean. The place itself isn't something mixed with all the other things I do. Because if you want to go and meditate in your living room, where there's the TV and some other things and this, it's not, you know, the mind gets pulled to these things. Whether clean in nature or special place in the house, this is very useful. Like this. So this is, that's why, you know, traditional thing, people have a room special for puja, a room special for meditation, same for the meditation, very useful like this. So having a place like this. then the time, having a regular time to do it is also very useful. And certain times are more conducive, easier. Early morning, first thing is the best thing, before you're involved with everything else. Because with our lifestyle, to find a different time to do it isn't easy. So actually, what happens is daylight, the natural rhythm of the world is rajas, because that's when most of the activity is taking place. Right? The sun comes up, naturally wakes up all the different creatures and people, and they're starting to do so much, so rajas. At night, more tamas, naturally, most of us are sleeping. Some animals, you know, they're nocturnal, but that's not, you know, they're not different species, not ours. So, naturally for this. But then sattvic time is sandhya, is sunrise, sunset time. So those times, there's more of a balance. So early morning or evening is a good time. Practically in our lifestyle nowadays, the evening for most people doesn't work as well also in this way. So early morning is really the best before you're involved with other things. And then also, as a discipline, if somebody practices meditation, having a regular amount of time, you do it too. Okay, every day you do 20 minutes. You do more if you have time with this. But having a regular time is also good. One can start with something short and slowly build it up. But when you do it and how long you do, very useful like this. Because something that you do regularly, have a regular time for it, you're going to do it. And the mind also gets used to doing it like this. So then it's easier. If you don't have a schedule for it, it'll be more difficult to do, right? So this is practical also. Then asanam, where you sit, you have a comfortable place, because if it's set, you have your place there to sit and meditate, it's set. You have whatever is comfortable. You need a cushion if you need it. Whatever you need, it's ready to go there. You don't have to be running around searching what you need for it, one thing. And also then it's clean and kept for you. You know, a lot of people like to have just their own, this is my place I sit, not to mix with other people, other things. That can be useful like this too. But having, so you're set like this. And then the asanam as the where you sit, and asanam as the posture of the body. Both are asanam, right? How you sit also. Because the thing is, if you sit straight, you have to want to be straight, alert, like this. If I'm leaning, if I'm, I won't be as alert in this way. You know, if somebody can't sit on the floor, they sit in a chair, they sit in a chair. You know, it's according to, if I have the ability to sit on the floor, cross-legged is, you know, really most stable and very, very, you know, best for the meditation we found. But most important, you have a solid position you can sit. You can sit straight, relax for a certain period. Back isn't well, you lean back. Better without leaning back is both more drowsy and everything. This way you're more alert sitting straight, but you adapt according to the body's condition in this way. Years back, I had a knee problem for some time, so I couldn't sit cross-legged. And then when I started sitting cross-legged after some time, then I could see the big difference. So that was just my personal experience. I said, wow, this is much better. Like this, one of those little stools you can kneel on. I was using for some time. And then, of course, posture is training the body to be still. That's, you know, sthira-sukha-asanam. What is the asana? Being still and comfortable. Being still and relaxed. So that you train the body. And somebody will say, oh, it's very difficult to be still. I have some pain here or there. Yes, you have to train the body, right? You train your dog, but you don't want to train your own body for meditation. Yes, at first it's not as comfortable. Yes, at first the body is restless. Do it regularly, a month, 2 months. It gets comfortable, then it's easier to meditate because the body wants to go here and there. My guru would say the start of meditation is the physical meditation, exactly this. Asana, be still for some time and that's it. Builds resolve, builds focus, and it's the grosser part of the mind, because moving to the body comes because of moving to the mind. I stop moving the body, so the grosser part of that movement is stopped, and then it naturally makes the mind more quiet. When you're just sitting still, consciously, already the mind becomes more still, like this, more present. So this is with the asana. And again, for Nididhyasana, Vedantic meditation, you can do it any place, anytime, any way. You don't have to do like this. But this is very helpful. If somebody already has a certain depth in it and they don't do this, that works fine. But the thing is, if we don't have, the mind will be too scattered. Nididhyasana itself won't be practical because the mind will be running to everything in that way. Then, next one is the prana samyama, samyama withdrawal, the withdrawal balancing like this, managing prana. So, because what happens, the body is grossest, more subtle is breath. So body's the breath regular. If you just watch the breath, and just there, the breath will become regular on its own in this way. But you can also do the other way around where you regulate the breath. If I regulate the breath, 3-4 seconds in, same out, shallow, naturally becomes more balanced. And again, grosser is balanced, then the subtler one naturally becomes more balanced. So the prana is very, very helpful. Very helpful for our meditation. When having because the whole biorhythm, the whole system again gets more balanced. When the mind is upset or running here or there, the breath also follows suit. Very angry, you're almost doing kapalabhati, right? Short, shallow, and quick breathing. When the mind is wandering here or there, the breath is irregular. Make the breath regular, the mind becomes regular. So very helpful in this way. And then indriya samyama, same thing. Indriya samyama is control the senses, because if you think of it, Raja Yoga, they have pranayama pratyahara. Naturally, by regulating the breathing, the senses also get withdrawn. Because the senses, they are wanting to run after so many things. They have their own interests, right? Just like in the government, you'll have different groups with different interests trying to push their agendas. So within us, the eyes have the agenda, they want to see this movie, the ears have this agenda, they want to go hear that concert, the tongue has agenda, wants to go here and eat this thing. Somebody we once knew would go once a year to France, certain time of year for, there's tourism for a different thing. This is culinary tourism, certain food they make that time of year, you go for a week every year, that time just to eat certain things. So the tongue wants to go somewhere in this way. So they all have their agenda. So withdrawing them, and withdrawing just like, it's never forceful. Forceful, it struggles. So withdrawing through understanding, when you're with the breath, naturally withdrawing. Naturally seeing, you see how wonderful it is to withdraw. It's running after something else, the seeing, then you have to bring yourself back. It's a training just like for the body, the breath. Same with the senses in this way. Senses, mention senses personally, meaning you're sitting, your eyes closed, or some people do eyes a little open. I'm just not used to that meditation with eyes closed, so naturally withdrawing. So when sounds come, whatever comes, you just don't pay attention, you'll pay attention to something else. Paying attention to something else is the best way. You don't fight head on. Head on doesn't work, so naturally you're withdrawing like this. And again, I haven't seen a specific exercise for that I do, but I'm assuming if one sense is running to certain things, you learn certain things, okay, how to deal with that specific one, possibly. Maybe tratakam for the eyes, chant mantras for the ears like this. Those are the two main ones that will be running. Because my ears are trying to hear so many different things, so you chant mantras sometime and actually it brings the attention to the mantra instead of going outwards. Then you have the mind, mano-nigraha. What happens is, with the mind, one of the main things it does, mind is identifying with my roles. I'm sitting here, I'm teaching, so I'm going to think, okay, we're going to come to class, I'll think, okay, today I have to cover this thing. Did I study this well enough? How will I explain this? I'm thinking of the role. Somebody else will have a role, they're thinking, okay, I have this big project, I have to do this, what will the boss say, etc. All these different roles I have. Right? So the thing is, where are the roles sitting? In my mind. The worry, the stress, because it's in my mind. So they say like this, that a doctor can't meditate, a father and mother can't meditate, teacher can't meditate, student can't meditate, no. The moment there's a role, you can't meditate. Because that one means there's a whole batch of other bundle of things that it's going to keep running after. So really needed is the roles have to be dropped. So the mind is withdrawn, withdrawing the mind puts these things aside. Now, just to have the mind say, okay, drop this. Not easy to do, right? If you have a child, or even better, you have better than a child, than you have a monkey, and the monkey takes something, and you want the monkey to give it back, it doesn't want to. What do? You find something else very interesting, and you give it to the monkey will take that, and drop what you had, right? Like this. So, I'm assuming it's like this. Somebody might know monkeys better. But in any case, the mind needs to be engaged in something like this. Engage the mind in something else in this way. Like one exercise we've done in some classes, very simple. You know, what happens is, I've tried, you know, where we sit and I say, okay, now we have an exercise. Everybody sit quietly and don't think of a purple elephant like this, like you keep saying. And then you ask, everybody's thinking of a purple elephant. So you try it a few times till somebody is smart enough. They said, no, I was thinking of a green giraffe. That's how I escaped. Meaning, purposefully think of something else. Because the suggestion for the purple elephant was there, but it's up to you to think of something else. You're listening to the suggestion, just as you take it, you can take something else in this way. So in this way, the mind has to be engaged in something else. The role comes, it'll come, it'll go. I'm Sakshi, I'm the observer. Like this, right? So then, I'm the observer. Okay. So the idea comes, oh, I have to do this, you know, I have the deadline, I have to work on this. Yes, I'm the observer of that thought. I don't fight against it, let the thought be there, I'm observing it. By the fact that I'm observing it, it'll go away pretty quickly because it doesn't have too much to do with me. I hear something outside, I think it has to do with me, something, you know, somebody coming or some problem outside, I'll go. But if I hear the noise and I know it has nothing to do with me, no problem, I won't pay attention to it. Yes, so I'm the observer, okay, I'm the observer. That thing will come and go, then I don't get as caught up in it. One way, you know, again, you have to put your attention something else. Oh, there's the pain, my arm and this, you know. Oh yeah, I'm the observer of it. Then I won't pay attention to it sometime. The mind is very tricky. What happens is this, you sit to meditate, there's some pain. And then what you do is, it's very painful, very painful. Okay, so I'll stop and I'll stretch in this. But the mind amplifies it. And one way to know, you sit for your 20 minutes, half hour, and there's pain. When you stop, after 2 minutes the pain is gone, meaning the mind amplified it. You know, if you get up and yes, there's a lot of back pain, stays okay. So maybe you did push yourself too far, maybe you can't sit like that, you need a cushion or whatever, okay. But in most cases, it's the mind is amplifying in this way. So in any case, so controlling the mind, taking like this, and then also, you know, if I can say I'm Sakshi, I can say, okay, everything I'm leaving in the higher hands, everything comes in there anyway. I came into this world, meaning I was brought into this world. All this play is happening, it'll go away. Who's behind everything, behind the functions of this body, behind everything? The higher power, let him take care, her take care. Then, no problem, then I free myself also. Another way to free. Different ways like this, but two. So the mind isn't identifying constantly with my role, situation, all this, because those are temporary things and the problem is I'm caught up in them. I identify with them, there's no meditation. I disidentify with them, naturally I'm meditating. People want to know how to meditate, disidentify. Soon he's going to say in this chapter, what is one of the definitions, many definitions of yoga in the Gita. It says yoga is viyoga, is the opposite. Yoga means disassociation, not association, disassociate. There's this thing my mind is very worried about. I'm constantly worried. When I disassociate from it, now I'm free. Now there's yoga. So yoga is the disassociation. Then last one is buddhi nishchaya, having conviction. Because the thing is, if I say, okay, this meditation is very hard, I don't think I can really do, sitting for 20 minutes, oh boy. or I'll say, yeah, I'm not really sure if if it will really help me to do, I can maybe do something, then how will it do? You have to have, yes, I'm doing this meditation, it's going to be very beneficial, be good, and I can do it, having this conviction, because otherwise half-hearted won't work. So actually when I sit to, you sit to meditate, now I'm going to be 100% present, 100% still, absorbed in that. You say this, you end up being 30% present, 40%, 50% present. If I say maybe in this, I'll be 5% present, right? So it helps. And then by that conviction, you can go further with it like this. So these are these 8 points, which mostly are discussed here, which are very, very helpful in this way. So again, in this specific verse here now, where he starts this, yogi yunjita satatam, engage in this, the yogis engage this always, meaning regularly. On and off practice is not going to yield the result. Before I did any meditation, anything, as a teenager, some friend in school, she said her parents decided to try meditation. So they went and they sat for some time, they sat and this, and then they said, they looked and said, nothing happened, nothing's happening. Okay, forget this meditation stuff. I didn't know anything about meditation. I thought, these are educated people, I think they were doctors. How stupid could they be? At least do it regularly a few weeks and then see, how can you say there's nothing in it? So I have to do regularly in this way. So satatam, regularly. Atmanam rahasi sthitaha. Here, atma is going to be the body, I believe. Atmanam. That is because, yes, oh, the mind. Oh, remains in solitude. Because usually the mind is leaning on other things. I'm dependent on my spouse. I'm dependent on my possessions, on things. I'm dependent on certain things. Mind, no, independent. Just stay by yourself. Because how much we're dependent on others and on things. That's when the mind is running outside. Not totally dropping. I'm independent now here. So we say we want to be independent, but how dependent we stay. So at least in the mind, yes, now, in this way. There's a book somebody gave me years back by Thich Nhat Hanh. Left his body maybe 2 years ago, something like this. Very great Zen master. And the whole book he talked about being in solitude. And he said, you're always in solitude, you have to recognize this. Because, okay, we're sitting here together, we're talking this, but really it's, I'm always just with myself, and then others is always external, it's an external, it's never really, or others, the image of others in me is in my mind, right? I can feel, you know, I feel that I need the company or certain external circumstances, but those things are just within my own mind in the end, right? So in the end, in solitude, you're really alone. They say you come alone and go alone, but you're always alone. You really are always alone, right? Your inside can never really be with something else. So to recognize it, and then also to learn, wherever I'm in solitude, really, inside. So this is the mind, and it's in the, this is the mind, it's just the mental state. Ekaki, here alone, right? Yeah, remaining alone. Because meditation, again, something you do alone. You sit in a group to meditate, you're alone doing the meditation, you're doing the meditation in yourself, in this way. And also important to meditate alone, because, okay, somebody's newer, going to group, and this is helpful to do it. It's helpful as a discipline and some instruction. And then if many people sitting still, much easier for me to be still because, you know, first time I ever sat for meditation, Shivananda Center in Tel Aviv when I was going. I went once and meditation. There is a special guest coming to give a talk, so I went. And then we just sit for the half hour, whatever. Still, I've never done that. And I didn't want to move at all because I'll be disturbing the other 30 people, whatever, in this. So, because the group then, being still and everything. So it's helpful, but my own discipline, because I have to do it, I want to do, so I have to go and get up, I have to go and sit myself, then I'm independently doing. So this is an important thing he's pointing out. yacha chitta atma. Here atma is body. Yata controlling chitta, mind, atma and body. So mind and body are withdrawn. And again, the control isn't a forceful control, right? Through understanding, through being aware like this. Force won't do it here because force, then there's resistance. Resistance, then, you know, it's going to build up tensions. So it's never done through force. Mind is running around. Okay, let it run around. I'm just watching it. I'll watch the breath sometime in this way. Body's uncomfortable. Very good. Take a few deep breaths. I'm still on the observer of it. You know, I'll focus something else. You don't, too painful in this? Yes, okay. This time I stretch a little bit. Next time I make sure I sit a little longer before I move the body in this way. So the can't be done by force in this way. So this is starting here. And then nirashihi, without any desire, right? Asha is hope, actually. Here, ashi, they say desire. There's an interesting subhashita, interesting Sanskrit saying that says like this, that hope is a very interesting chain that binds you. Those who are bound by it are running here and there. Those who are free from it sit peacefully and quietly. Because I have expectation for myself, I'm running. I don't know, okay, I'll just be free. Very interesting. So without expectation, desire, because the moment I have that, now I'm going to be, mine will be running everywhere. Right? Like this. Like at work, I do the lunch hour meditation. So the first two classes now after the election, then people, of course, are coming and dejected in this, coming to the class in this way. Because they, so you have to put that aside. If you're thinking of that, how are you going to meditate? Right? Whether you're upset about something or all excited, looking forward to something, how are you going to meditate? That has to be put aside. So I have to learn from, so no, all these are put aside. If I can put it aside, meaning it's not essential to me, meaning I made it important. If I can put it aside for some time, meaning it's not the essence for me. Essence, so I should be able to accept and let it go. Something greater is taking care of everything. Why should I take care of everything like this? Aparigraha, and without holding on to things. Not expecting, not whatever is here I try to hold on to, I have to let go. And so as long as I hold on, then how will I meditate? So the whole practice of meditation, more learning to do the learning these things. The more I learn them, more I've jnana, understanding of them, and then vijnana, right, assimilating them. Now meditation will be a natural thing. Naturally I'll meditate. So in this way. I practice meditation some time, let's say, and mind is running here, there. It's hard to do. Well, I have to look into these things. But look into, okay, what is it that I'm really caught up in? Why is it that I'm identifying with it? Well, I have to look at myself and learn these things, because only I can resolve it. I can ask, get some pointers maybe, can be helpful, but then I have to resolve it. Nobody else can resolve for me. I'm sitting here, I'm worried about something, I'm expecting something so I can't meditate. My own mind, I have to resolve it. Who else is going to resolve it for you? So, let's continue here. Shuchau deshe pratishthapya. Shuchau deshe pratishthapya. Stiramasanamatmanaha. Natyuchritam natinicham. Chailajinakushottaram. Chailajinakushottaram. In a clean spot, one should firmly fix one's own seat, which consists of a cloth, a skin, and kusha grass, one over the other, and which is neither too high nor too low. Mostly having a comfortable place to sit, like this. This one at the time and place, then now, we're all living at a comfortable house, We can easily have a comfortable cushion, comfortable place, no problem. But then older times, then okay, how to do? So this, you know, first of all, not too high or low, because if you go in India, you'll see a lot of times there's a tree and they make a small, you know, a little bit, they, nowadays with cement, a little bit higher up so you can sit around. And the reason they do that, you'll sit up there, and then if the creatures come and go below, they won't bother you as much like this. So in this way, too high, then you know you meditate, you fall down, maybe for that reason. But again, what's comfortable. And then the kusha grass makes it, keeping the dampness out. It's very sharp, but it keeps the dampness out. And kusha grass also, it's very sharp, so symbolizes the mind, intellect, are very sharp. It has to pierce through all the nonsense. Don't listen to nonsense, focus on the essence. Like you see, where there's a mother with many kids and she's getting things done, cooking, taking care of them, sending off to school, taking care. You know, she doesn't get caught up in nonsense, she's very focused. It's amazing to see. Phenomenal. Some women, how they do like that with the kids, I'm amazed. So that same way, you're just not getting caught up in the nonsense of the mind like that. So like this. And then what happens is you have, they have the skin, deer skin, all the time over it, because then what happens is as I said, that grass can be very sharp, so it doesn't pierce you. And then, of course, you're supposed to take it because died of naturally and everything like this. You know, we don't have to worry about it. We can just have cotton on the cushion and everything. And then the skin, the deer skin also keep it warm. The first one is for humidity. Second one is for the heat, because, you know, skin is made to keep the temperature, keep us warmer. And then the cloth above it, because the skin, it's the animal hide itself, will have the fur, can be not as comfortable. That's why, like this, one or the other. But in general, comfortable place to sit, because those are things that aren't pertaining to us nowadays like this. So most important, comfortable asana, I can sit. You know, I'm not as flexible, I need a bigger cushion I use, fine. But comfortable, that's the important thing. Clean, comfortable, ready to go like this. That's the important thing here. Okay. Let's continue then. Tatreka grammana kritva. Tatreka grammana kritva. Yata chittendriya kriyaha. Yata chittendriya kriyaha. Upavishyasane yunjyat. Upavishyasane yunjyat yogamatma vishuddhaye yogamatma vishuddhaye. Seated there on the seat, having restrained the activities of the mind and sense organs, and having made the mind one-pointed, one should practice dhyana yoga for mental purification. So important thing. This, yogam atma vishuddhaye, atma, the mind, for purifying the mind. So meditation isn't for getting a certain experience, right? For a specific experience, meaning I will keep running after that experience or some other experience. So that also, because if it's an experience, it will come and it will go. This is an important thing. There's one Subhadra Mataji, this one lady, I think that was her name, that I saw. She's somewhere from South India. I didn't hear her talk in Uttarakashi. Other people I know heard her talk. She went to this place called Tapovan. If you go to Gangotri, beyond Uttarakashi, it used to be a source of Ganga. But, you know, a few hundreds of years ago, the glaciers receded like 12, 14 kilometers since then. So from Gangotri, you go to Gomuk, which is the source of Ganga, and you go further up there to Tapovan. And only a few people go there. The winter, nobody stays there. It's all snowed in. So she was there one winter. So she was there. And, you know, all she has is some wood in whatever place she was staying, some wood and to burn. So usually up there, there's like some potatoes some dal and some rice, that's it. You cook them, and you cook them in, to keep you keep warm with that. And there's nothing, nothing else, nothing there, literally. No, it's high up in the mountain, no plant, no plants, no anything. So she thought she's going to be free. At some point, she thought she's going to freeze to death. She thought like this, and she meditated. She had some whatever experience. She said, nirvikalpa samadhi, whatever she had. Very good. She went there for another 5-6 years every year, wanting to re-experience, and never got to re-experience. So there we say it's not for, here it says it's for purification of the mind. That's what it's for. Now, when we're, what purification? Well, we have the two different main impurities in the mind that it helps with. Mala vikshepa. Mala is the negative, the dirt in the mind, all the negativities. Vikshepa is the tossing of the mind. Usually Raja Yogis take more for the vikshepa. Karma Yoga, things like this can help for the mala. So that's, it's helpful for this, and make the mind more pure, more subtle in this way. Then the Vedantic meditation, the dhyasanam, that's for making the idea, what's being pointed out in Vedanta, more established. It's not for the understanding. I need the understanding before I meditate, otherwise what will I meditate on? You have to meditate on what? So what we learn, shravanam, that's, you learn in Vedanta, it's pointed out to you, that's what you reflect on, that's what you meditate on. So you see, you know, you learn, I'm the sakshi, I'm the observer, I'm not the mind, the body, I'm the one observing them. Good. There's an understanding. Then you sit, you meditate on that. I'm the one observing the body. I feel the body, I'm the one observing it. Mind is going here, I'm the one observing. I'm not the mind running, I'm the one observing it. So then you establish that more and more. To be established in this instead of in the other identifications I have. So it's not something new, it's establishing what's there. So this way, so that the... So would they say it's for the... other types of meditation we can say is for the mala and vikshepa nivritti, for removing the impurities in the mind, the tossing of the mind. Vedantic meditation for viparita bhavana nivritti, viparita bhavana, other ways of seeing myself, other ideas, for removing those ideas, the non-Vedantic ideas. Identify with anatma instead of atma. For staying with atma, not with anatma, like this. But for that, of course, one has to go to shravanam, because otherwise, okay, what will I meditate on? Like this. The examples given is, let's say that if there's coffee, and I drink it, right? I stir it. Meditation's the stirring. Will it become sweet if I just stir it? It's not going to become, you stir it, you'll drink, it'll still be bitter, won't be sweet. And if I put in sugar and I don't stir it, I drink, still won't be sweet, just at the bottom. Sometimes you don't stir it well enough at the bottom, suddenly it's very sweet, right? Oh, I didn't stir well enough. So the sugar put inside is the shravanam. So if I want to do Vedantic meditation, I'm formless. How will you meditate on formless if you haven't studied, understood why you're formless? You'll have some idea there, but it's not going to sit. Like the coffee without any sugar put in. You're stirring, but it doesn't do anything. But you do the shravanam, I go regularly, I hear, but I never reflect on it, don't meditate on it. It also won't be sweet because the meditation needed for that, the mananam nididhyasanam. So that's why, for to think, see something in a different way from different angle, you have to understand that other angle, otherwise how are you going to do it? So that's why Vedanta shravanam is for understanding this other angle of vision. Understanding to look at it from the perspective of I'm the conscious being, not I'm the body-mind, and then the meditation, making that more firm, like that. So in any case, that was just this one part of the, what is it for? Atma vishuddhaye, tatra eka grammanaha kritwa, there make the mind one-pointed by practice, right? You'll say the mind is running everywhere. Well, if you practice regularly, it gets a little easier, a little easier. Yata chitta indriya kriyaha. One then, the person then withdraws from action. Body's not doing things. the senses, they're not running to things. Chitta, the mind, not running, withdrawing, like this. Upavishyasana, having sat on the asana, stable, then one does it, one practices it. And the main thing, again, for purification mind. Because again, people come, they start yoga meditation, and they do it, they feel very good, or they want more of that experience. So it's a good way to start, because otherwise people don't know. And then they start seeing, oh wow, there's a different way to find some peace inside instead of running after things. Very good. But then you keep doing it, and it still is a conditional state of conditional happiness, right? Conditional thing. I do the yoga, then I feel good, but then it goes away. In general, if you do regularly, yes, the mind is a more quiet place, for sure. But it doesn't go to the root, because still I'm identified with the mental state in this way. So that's where this has to be understood, that it's not for the experience. Because you are the conscious being, regardless of what the experience is. So if you know the conscious being, what difference does it make? The experiences won't bind anymore, won't be as overpowering. You can say like this. Let's see if any other important things here. So again, the purification of mind doesn't bring jnanam, isn't jnanam, but is necessary for jnanam. Because the instrument isn't properly prepared, how can it be used for it? So the mind, intellect, they're properly tuned, it'll be easier to have self-knowledge. If they're unruly, it'll be more difficult. So in that way, it's necessary, but it isn't the jnanam itself, it's the preparation. So 13. Samam kaya shiro grivam. Samam kaya shiro grivam. Dharayan nachalam sthiraha. Dharayan nachalam sthiraha. Samprekshanasika gram swam. Samprekshanasika gram swam. Dishashchanavalokayan. Dishashchanavalokayan. Remaining firm, holding the trunk, head and neck erect and steady, and not looking around, one should look at the tip of one's own nose. And here it says, as it were. And one of the teachers says about it, he says, tip of the nose, and then he said, swam your own, because you might think I should look somebody else's tip of nose, right? To make it clear. No? Meaning not to look out. I'm looking out to the world. If I'm looking here, there is a practice. There are different practices. Tratakam. There is a tratakam where you look at the tip of the nose, actually. There is different ways. But this isn't the main point here, meaning having the mind pointing one thing and not running to other things. That's why here in the translation he wrote, as it were, because the main thing, it's not running to other things. I'm not looking everywhere. I'm just staying here. So if somebody does with their eyes a little open, they're staying one place or not looking at anything specific. Eyes closed, then I'm not trying to look here or there, I'm just present here in that way. That's the main thing here, the main reason why that's there. So again, talks about the asana, which is said being straight, not moving, steady. And one very helpful thing for that when you practice, when you just sit, you have a very clear suggestion. Now I'm aware and still. Look, how I'm still consciously, what it feels like, how I'm present. And then, okay, now I'm going to be still present for this next 20 minutes that I'm practicing. That's it. When you make that a strong, clear suggestion to the mind, it's easier to do. So as you sit to prepare, of course, when you sit to prepare, you sit, you can take deep breaths, you can chant some mantras to prepare. Then when you're going to meditate itself, then you make strong suggestion, I'm doing this, that's it. Then it's easier to do. And if you see sports event, probably they give rest before they are going to play, probably the coach gives a good pep talk. Now they're ready to go. Maybe it's the middle of the game, you know, they have the intermission middle, and they're losing, so give them a good pep talk, so they have all the energy to go, to run and go. That's a rajasa pep talk, which for that case may be needed. But here, clear with the mind, yes, I can do it. So makes it very much easier than to do it. And again, at first, you practice, somebody's giving the suggestion from outside, makes it helpful. Yes, I'm sitting straight. Yes, the back is relaxed. I'm firm. Totally firm, totally aware and present. So by hearing it makes it easier, but then one has to learn from one's own mind to do that too. You get up in the morning, you sit and meditate, you put that suggestion yourself. So it's self-reliant. So you learn from what is being, you know, what is being pointed out, but then you learn to do that yourself. Because again, you're doing the meditation, you don't want to just be reliant. You learn and it helps, good, but then you're self-reliant in it afterwards. So let's say, Tata Ek, oh no, we're in this one, Samam Kaya Shira Grivam, Dharayana Chalam Stiraha, not looking here and there. That's why I always learn with closed eyes, I prefer, because then there's no question about looking here and there, but the main thing, you're not going outwards. No, not running after things outside. Samprekcha Nasika Adram Swam, Dishachalana Loka. We pretty much covered. There isn't too much new here. Let's see our time. I think we'll stop here. Didn't finish this whole section. Just a few verses left. We can continue the next time. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Very good. So we'll continue next week. If anybody has any question or anything, a few minutes. You had some doubts or some clarifications. If not, then yes, we're done. Okay, going once, going twice. Oh, have a wonderful week.